read tonight from the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 22, beginning in verse 11. 11th verse of 1 Chronicles, chapter 22. "Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, and thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. Now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, and 1,000 talents of silver, and of brass and iron, without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Of the gold, the silver, and the brass, and the iron, there is no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee." This is a portion of a charge that David gave to his son Solomon concerning the construction of the house of the Lord. As you read earlier in this chapter, you'll find it was in the mind of David, first of all, to build this house. David purposed to build this house. It was David's desire to build this house. But it was not according to the purpose of God for David to build the house. It was not according to God's will for David to build the house. So many times in life, we may desire to do something. We may plan to do something. And it may not be one thing wrong with what we plan to do or want to do, except the fact it's not in harmony with God's will. So therefore, we should always be very desirous, and we should always pray that the Lord would direct us according to His will. It was David's will to build the house, but it wasn't God's will. And God told David that he wasn't going to build the house. His son Solomon was going to build it. He said, "David, you're a man of war, and you shed much blood. I'm going to give your son Solomon rest from all of his enemies. He'll have the time, and I'll bless him that he might build my house." Again, it's extremely important that we consider and pray for the Lord's will in our lives. James teaches us a very important lesson concerning this in James chapter 4. When he makes mention of a man who said he would go into a city, and there he would buy and he would sell and make great gain. Now he says, a man shouldn't have that type of attitude, for what is your life anyway but a vapor? In other words, it's just here for a while and it's gone. But he says, a man should say, if it be the Lord's will, if it be the Lord's will, we shall live and do this or do that. As I grew up, I used to hear that expression very often. My parents used it very often, and they still do. "I'll see you tomorrow if it be the Lord's will." We'll meet in a certain place to be the Lord's will. But you don't hear that expression very much anymore in this present day in which we're living. Man's become so proud and so boastful within his own self, he doesn't see his need to depend upon the Lord anymore. And so that expression is quickly going by the wayside. But I hope it's still in your vocabulary. I hope you're still using it very frequently. I hope parents are using this in front of their children, teaching them that we should always seek the will of God in our lives. You may be aiming to go to college. You may be seeking a mate. Many other very important decisions in life. And you should ask the Lord to direct you and to guide you along these lines. You shouldn't make your plans and then ask the Lord to bless them, but rather ask the Lord to give you the plan to begin with. Amen. Ask the Lord's will in your life, to show you His will, to direct you and guide you. And so it was in the mind of David to build this house, but it wasn't according to the will of God for David to build it. He says, "I'm going to give you a son again by the name of Solomon. I'll give him rest from all of his enemies. I'll enable him to build my house." Now, since David couldn't build the house, he did the next best thing. He helped gather the materials for it. And the Bible says he prepared abundantly before his death. David realized he didn't have too much time left on this earth. And therefore, he utilized his time to the very best of his ability, helping gather the materials and then charging Solomon. He says Solomon is young and tender. Solomon did not have the experience of David. But yet Solomon was God's choice. And David recognized that, and David charged his son. And this is a portion of that charge. And he says in verse 11 again, "Now, my son, the Lord be with thee." How important that is that we should pray that prayer, I believe, for our loved ones, for our churches, for those that we pray for. The Lord be with thee. Is that just an expression that we've become accustomed to using? Do we really recognize the significance of that? Do we recognize the importance of the Lord being with us? The task before Solomon was great. It would take him 7 years to build this house. He would need guidance in building this house. He would need instruction in building this house. He would need knowledge and wisdom. And David prays that he might have that. He charges him to seek wisdom. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. He says, "The Lord be with you." And then as he concludes his charge, again he uses that same expression, "The Lord be with you." Now David wasn't blessed with the Lord to build the house. But David has a lot to say about the house of the Lord. Psalms 127 verse 1, he says, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it." I believe that can be applied to more than just one type of house. I believe we can apply that to our individual lives. "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it." We can apply that certainly to our families, our household. "Except the Lord build a house." We can apply it to our nation. "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it." We're in a political year, an election year. A lot of promises are going to be made. A lot of promises are going to be made. But I'm telling you, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Certainly when it comes to the house of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." It's a lot more to establishing a church or constituting a church than just going out and having meetings. Meetings are wonderful. But the Lord has to be in the arrangement, I believe. Right. I remember Elder O.B. Cummins one time, the state of Oklahoma, went to the northwest part of the country to do a labor up there in the ministry, stayed a while and came back. And somebody asked him about it. He said, "I thought you said there was a lot of work to do up there and a lot of labor." He says, "There is a lot of work and there's a lot of labor to be done, but I found out I wasn't the one to do it." He recognized what he had in mind was good. But it wasn't the Lord's will for him to be there. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it."
Amen.
What a wonderful principle that is, and how we need to remember that in our lives, individually, as families, as churches, and as a nation. "Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." As he said in Psalms 122 and verse 1, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Now, I don't know what David's situation was at that time, but he said he was glad when someone come along and said, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Now, David was glad because no doubt he'd enjoyed many wonderful times in God's house in times past. And you know, we all need to be encouraged to go to the house of the Lord. We need to be reminded to go to the house of the Lord. We need to be provoked unto good works, as we read in Hebrews along these lines. A lot of times when I see some of our members or other persons attending our church in the middle of the week, as we depart, I'll say, "Hope to see you Sunday." Well, I say, "I'll see you in church Sunday." Just a little nice reminder, you know, that we have church, or if it's having a weeknight appointment or something, you know, I'll remind them. We're going to have services. And so, whatever David's condition was, he says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Someone didn't just say, "David, you ought to go to the house of the Lord." No, they were going as well. "I was glad when they said unto me." Somebody reminded David. Somebody encouraged David. Somebody provoked David to go to the house of the Lord. You know, we ought to, in just anticipation of the blessings of the Lord, we come to God's house, ought to put a smile on our face. Our countenance ought to just beam with happiness at the thought that we have the opportunity of going to the house of the Lord. It ought to make us glad when somebody says, "We're going to have a meeting this Thursday night at Cool Springs Church. Let's all go to meet. Let's all go to the house of the Lord." It's a special place. It's a wonderful place to be with the saints of God, to meet with a portion of God's people, and strike hands of fellowship with them, and feel the warmth and the love that ought to flow from heart to heart and breast to breast, an anticipation of the Lord's presence in our midst. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, the Lord has promised, he'd be in our midst. We should be glad at the very prospect of going to the house of the Lord. David said in the 84th Psalm, you know, one day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my Lord than to dwell in tents of wickedness. Amen. That's not a very impressive job to people out here in the world to be a doorkeeper. But David says just to be a doorkeeper in the house of God is far better than to actually dwell in the house of the tents out here of the wicked. Just one day in his courts is better than a thousand. I believe the benefits of being in God's house one day will far exceed the many days you can spend out here in man's world. To receive the blessings of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to have the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, to commune with God and have His presence once again in our hearts and our minds, to strike hands of fellowship with the saints of God, I believe is one of the most precious blessings in all the world for God's children as they live here in this world. What's your estimation about the house of the Lord tonight? Is it a special place? Is it a place where you have fond memories of, you know, good meetings in times past? When you come to this place, do you anticipate the presence of the Lord? Do you anticipate Him being here and blessing us, overshadowing this meeting with His presence? Do you pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit? Do you pray that we might not only have just a good meeting, but maybe the Lord be pleased to bless us with a great meeting? Yeah. You know, the Lord told Jeremiah, call upon me, and I'll show thee great and mighty things. God can show us great things because He's a great God. Amen. And God can show us mighty things because He's a mighty God. Amen. And oftentimes we come up a little short because we haven't called upon Him in a great and mighty way. I believe it pleases God tonight to display His greatness and His power and His might. And every time you come to a place like this and the Lord blesses you to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, you've just experienced a present day miracle in your life. You couldn't receive it unless the Lord would allow you to. We pray for the preacher to have liberty, but I'm saying you have to have liberty as well. And the Lord is the only one who can give that liberty. So no wonder David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Just to be a doorkeeper in God's house is better than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. This is a special house, I believe. The Apostle Peter tells in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, he says, ye as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, to offer spiritual sacrifices unto God acceptable unto Him by Jesus Christ our Lord. This is a spiritual house. That's what I enjoy about coming to the house of God, because it's spiritual. Amen. You know, the singing needs to be spiritual. The praying needs to be spiritual. And certainly the proclamation of the gospel, my friends, cannot be done unless it is spiritual. Singing the hymns was beautiful tonight, has been in every service. That's why the Apostle Paul said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Here's an opportunity where you can make melody right from the heart. The heart that God has given you to love Him with. The heart that God has given you. He's taken out the whole old hard and cold and stony heart and has given you a heart of flesh. A heart that can respond favorably to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we can sing together. We can sing in the Spirit. Singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. And then have a man of God like Elder Brantley tonight to lead us in public prayer. You know, to pray a spiritual prayer that expresses the sentiments of the entire congregation. He may have been the only one speaking audibly, but I trust our hearts was right in tune with the words that he said. We can come to a place where God's people are praying people, where there's a spiritual song service, a spiritual prayer, and then pray to the Lord that the preaching might be spiritual. Amen. That the preaching might come forth in power and demonstration of God's Spirit. Amen. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, he says, you know, my preaching and my teaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but rather in demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't believe a man can preach unless he's called to begin with. Then I believe God has to liberate him by the Holy Spirit of God. That's why you ought to pray every meeting, because every meeting's a new meeting. Every service is a new service. And the service this morning was wonderful, but the grace God gave for that meeting has been used up. So we need more grace tonight. And James says God gives grace for grace. And so for the preacher to preach, he needs the grace of God and the Spirit of God. But in God's house, you can expect a spiritual atmosphere. You know, that's why the Lord said, my kingdom is not of this world. That's why Isaiah says the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. You see, it's not an earthly thing. The church is in this world, but it's not of the world, as we preached last night. The Lord Jesus Christ was in the world, but He was not of the world. The church is in this world, but it's not of the world. Therefore, we desire to come into a spiritual atmosphere where we can feel the Spirit of God. And we need to pray for the Spirit of God. And so this is a spiritual house. And we need to strive to maintain the spirituality of this house.
Amen.
We need to get the carnality out, my friends, and have the Spirit of God to dwell in our souls and in our hearts, that we might feel spiritual tonight. I don't always feel spiritual, but I want to feel spiritual as much as possible, and especially in the house of God. Here's where, again, people come with spiritual minds and spiritual hearts to offer spiritual sacrifices unto the Lord God of heaven and also of earth. The Lord Jesus Christ expressed righteous indignation one time when He went into the temple and then made His Father's house a house of merchandise. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He turned over the table of the money changers. He drove out those that sold doves and made merchandise of His Father's house. And He says, "You've made merchandise of My Father's house and made a den of thieves, but My Father's house should be called a house of prayer." That's another reason David, I believe, was glad to go into the house of the Lord, because here's a place where people come who have a prayer in their heart. I believe tonight I'm in the midst of a praying people. And I'll tell you, everywhere you go, you don't find that. But I believe in the house of God, brother, is a place where God's people have come praying for the presence of the Lord. I believe they pray to the Almighty God, and they pray concerning the things of God. They pray for each other. They pray for the ministry. They pray for the church. They pray for the meetings. They pray for the services. And all the other many things that God's Word has instructed for us to pray for. And people to pray for. The list tonight has been given of people to pray for. I like to be in the midst of a praying people, don't you? And I believe God's house should be called a house of prayer. I like to be around people that, "Hey, tell me, I'm going to pray for you." I like to feel like people indeed are remembering me in prayer. A lot of times when we get ready to go on a trip, some of the members back home at Little Union will tell me, "Well, I'm going to be praying for you." And I really believe when the time of the service comes, when I'm away, that there's a few of them back home who are thinking about me at that present time, and they're praying for me. And they're praying for the meeting and praying for the service. Because we need the leadership of God in our meetings, brethren. We need the Lord if we're going to have great meetings. I'll tell you that now. We've got to have the presence of the Lord. And I believe we need to pray for great meetings and pray for revivals here in our land in the day and age in which we're living. Only God can give a revival. So I like to be in the house of God where God's people are known as praying people. You remember that time when the Lord Jesus Christ told the Apostle Peter, He said, "Satan hath desired to sift thee and have thee as wheat." He said, "But when thou art converted, go and strengthen the brethren." And then He told Peter, "For I have prayed for you." You know, that must have made Peter feel awful good. It wasn't just Paul telling Peter that. It wasn't just James telling Peter that. It was the Lord Jesus Christ Himself telling Peter that. And so I desire the prayers of the people of God, and especially the household of faith. And the closer somebody walks to the Lord, the more I appreciate their prayer. But to have Jesus Christ Himself to pray for you, that must have lifted the Apostle Peter up. Here the Lord of glory was going to pray for him. You know, in Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul says, "Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is on the right hand of God, making intercession for the saints of God." Tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is appearing in the presence of God for us. He's making intercession for us. He's taking our case to the Father tonight. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ prayed on behalf of the Apostle Peter, I believe the Lord tonight represents you as your great high priest to the Father. Aren't you glad you don't have to go through some earthly man down here? Aren't you glad you got a high priest you can confess your sins to? Aren't you glad you got a high priest tonight that you can plead your case to? A great high priest who understands you? A great high priest that can be touched with the feelings of your infirmities? A great high priest who knows everything about you? Now, you may know more about you than somebody else does, but the Lord knows more about you than you know about yourself. The Lord knows everything there is to know about you. He knows you're up rising and sitting down or whatever. He knows all there is to know about you. And He knows you again far better than you know yourself. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said, "My Father's house should be called the house of prayer." I believe it's a house of prayer, and I believe it's a spiritual house tonight, and one that's lifted above all the mountains of this world from the standpoint that it's far above all the beggarly elements of this world. Here's a place, brother, I believe it's the highest institution known to mankind on this earth. Right. It's a joy to be in the house of God tonight, and the Lord has blessed you to be here and give you an understanding about His house and about the blessings that's come to you by His sovereign grace, then you ought to be thankful tonight for God's blessings along these lines. You ought to thank God before you close your eyes and sleep this evening that you've had the glorious opportunity and privilege to be with the saints of God in this simple setting here tonight. Now, this wouldn't impress a lot of people out here in the world, but I tell you, it's a lovely sight to see this evening. It's a lovely sight to see God's people as little lambs and sheep coming together and beside the still waters and laying down in the green pastures to hear the Word of God proclaimed and expounded by the Holy Spirit of the Almighty God. Oh, blessing, my friends. It's a thrill to my heart to be with God's people in the house of God. No wonder David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's a house of prayer. It's a spiritual house. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:15, he says, Till I come again, that thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of God, the church of the living God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. Now that's what makes the house of God special tonight. As well as this is a house of truth. Here's where people come to hear the truth. Here's where people come that love the truth. And if you love the truth, you're going to love the Lord. If you love the Lord properly, you'll love the truth. Our Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father except by me. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, again, is truth personified. And I believe the Lord has a true church here on this earth.
Amen.
Now, men have churches, all right, but I believe the Lord's got His church. I believe in church singular. I believe that the Lord has His church identifiable according to the things recorded in the New Testament. So I believe tonight we have the identity of the Lord's true church as found in the New Testament, given the divine inspiration of God. I believe here's a place where God's people come to hear the truth about God and the truth about themselves. Now, you know, when you begin to tell God's people the truth about their depravity, a lot of people don't like to hear that. And somebody sometimes, you know, say, well, there's not enough recognition in the old Baptist church. You know, I'd go more if there was more recognition. Well, I believe we give you all the recognition you need. The Bible says, you're less than nothing. How about that for recognition? The Bible says, for vain man would be wise, be born like a wild ass's colt. How about that for recognition? The Bible says, man is less than nothing. He's just a worm of the dust. How's that for recognition? The Bible says, there's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one found in the fear of God is in his heart. What kind of recognition is that? Well, I'll tell you, it's the truth about our nature, is it not? It's the truth about our depraved nature that we have according to the Adamic nature that we possess as we come forth from Adam himself. And we need to recognize that in our lives. We need to recognize that we are depraved creatures here and we are unworthy of the blessings of God. But on the other hand, we certainly need to know the truth about our omnipotent God, don't we? I love to hear the truth about an all-powerful God, an omnipotent God, an omnipresent God, an omniscient God, an immutable God, invisible God, immortal God, the only wise and true God in heaven or in earth.
Amen.
Now, that's the kind of God that we need to hear about. God's people need to know the truth about God. A lot of things told about God just simply not the truth, brother. just simply not the truth. Now, I want God's people to understand that the God of the Bible is not a weak God. He's not a pleading God. He's not a begging God. He's not a weeping God. And a God wringing His hands in despair. He's not a God that's losing the race to the devil. The devil, my friends, is not overpowering our God. The Bible says, where sin abounding, grace did much more abound. And while sin reigned unto death, so has grace reigned through righteousness and eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. While the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Savior. You need to know the truth about sin and the remedy of sin tonight. I'm glad we've got a remedy in the Lord Jesus Christ, aren't you? I'm glad we got more than a band-aid doctrine. I'm glad we got a doctrine that says that Christ has purged us from our sins. That Jesus Christ has redeemed us and justified us and reconciled us through the death of His Son on Calvary's cross nearly 20 centuries ago. When I come to God's house, I want to hear the truth about God. I want to know who God is. I want to know His attributes. I want to know the mind and purpose of God as recorded in the Word of God. And so here's a place where God's people come to enjoy and rejoice in the truth of their salvation. To know the truth about man, and the truth about God, and the truth about sin, and the truth about salvation. I like to go to a place where men don't apologize for preaching grace. I like to go where men don't believe, say, I believe in grace if, or I believe in grace but. It's just, I believe in grace. No ifs, no buts, no ands, no connections, conditions whatsoever. But grace is what we believe is the unmerited favor of God upon His children. And I believe in the household of faith, in the house of God, is a place where you can hear that glorious truth preached on a regular and consistent basis. Now, David didn't get to build the house, but David had a lot of good things to say about the house, didn't he? And along with Peter and the Lord and the Apostle Paul and many other men. Now we find over here in Psalm 65:4, where David says, blessed is the man whom
God has chosen, or God chooses, and causes to approach unto thee. It sounds like a little bit of grace right there to me. Sounds like David knew what he was talking about. He said, blessed is the man that God has chosen and causes to approach unto him, that he might dwell in thy courts, and he shall be satisfied with the goodness of the house of the Lord. Is God's house good to you tonight? Is there goodness in the house of God for the child of God tonight? Is here a place where you can hear about the goodness of God? You don't expect tonight to hear somebody get up and brag on man, I'm sure. But I'm glad that you came tonight with the expectation of somebody bragging on God. David said in the psalm, we boast in the Lord all the day long. I know we have long meetings sometimes, and our preachers can get rather lengthy from time to time, but we got Bible pressing. The psalmist David said, in the Lord we boast all the day long. We got a basis, I believe, for having all day meetings, you know. In the Lord, you see, when you get to brag on the Lord, there's just no stopping place. That's just all there is to it. There's no place to draw the line when you're bragging on the Lord. Now he says, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of the house of the Lord. I'm satisfied with His goodness tonight. Yes. You know, David says in the Psalms, the Lord is good unto all, and His mercy is great upon His children. Tonight, can we not all say for our own experience that God is good? Isn't God good tonight? Yes. Isn't God good to bless you to have the breath of life and the strength and health you've got tonight to come to the house of God? Isn't God good to bless you with the hope of glory within your heart and give you the desire to be in the house of God tonight? It's a Friday night. It's a weekday night. It's a worldly night. A lot of places you can be tonight. But you're here because God is placing your heart, His love, and draws you by His grace. And I believe you're satisfied with the goodness of the house of the Lord. In Psalms 36, David writes and says, we shall be satisfied with the fatness of the house of the Lord. God's house is a rich house. You know, if people break into the Old Baptist Church, they don't usually get too much because we don't have all that many things of great value. But if they could just see what we see in the house of God, you know, as a moth can't corrupt and thieves can't break through and steal that, can they? That's why the Lord said, live in heaven, you know, treasures, my friends, where thieves cannot break through and steal and moth cannot corrupt. Where is your treasure tonight? In the house of God is a rich house. It's a fat house, brethren. It's a house that's loaded down with the riches of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No wonder David said they should be satisfied with the fatness of the Lord's house. The Queen of Sheba, when she came to see this house and questioned Solomon, came away quite impressed, did you not? She came there with hard questions. But when Solomon got through talking to her, and she'd seen his wisdom, and the house that he built, she declared, the half has not yet been told me. Amen. Now, Solomon's going to have a great task in building this house. But what a wonderful pleasure it is to labor in the house of God and labor for the cause of Jesus Christ. It ought to be a joy in your heart, my friends, to just have the blessing of God, the opportunity of God, of coming and worshiping God and serving God in His house. Now, David said in the 27th Psalm, he says, there's one thing I desire of the Lord that I will seek after. And what was that, David? That I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. David says, the house of the Lord is not only a good place to visit, it's a good place to live. It's a good place to put down roots. It's a good place to dwell in. And those who've been living in God's house for a number of years, I believe, would say amen to the statement of David. Now those on the outside, brethren, I'm going to tell you what, you don't know what it is until you get on the inside. You may not see the difference, but when you come on the inside, oh, there is a difference, isn't it? It's a difference of belonging. You know, it's kind of like a man, I believe, or a person who's a citizen, who's not a citizen of the United States of America, but living here. You know, he gets a lot of benefits from the country in which he's living, all right? But whenever he's made a citizen of that nation, don't you know he feels a lot different than he did but prior to that? Now he belongs. Now he can say, this is my country. This is my nation. This is my place to live. And when you come into the house of God, brethren, and you come in to dwell, when you deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Jesus Christ and are baptized to rise to walk in newness of life, you can say, this is my house now. Here's the place where I dwell. Here's the place where I left to live and to come. Here's the place that I believe brings joy to my heart and my soul like no other place here in this world. You can say like David, one day in his courts is better than a thousand. Amen. Just to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. He says, the one thing I desire of the Lord that I will seek after, that is, I might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, you may desire a lot of things in life, but here's one I believe would be a desire we should all have in our hearts. That I might dwell in the house of the Lord.
5:2
In the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, he said, He brought me to the banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. The Lord told His disciples, By this shall they know that you are my disciples, that you have love one to another. You know, I believe that draws people, first of all, just about every time when they come to the Lord's house. And you know, there may be people here tonight that came for the wrong reason. I mean, you may have came because your boyfriend asked you, your girlfriend asked you. You may have come because a neighbor asked you, whatever. But I hope when you leave this place, whether you understand what the gospel is all about or not, I hope you can feel impressed with the love that flows from heart to heart and breast to breast among the Lord's people. I hope you can feel that and see that. And it's something that's real and genuine, my friends, and sincere. In this world we're living in, it's a cold and cruel place, brethren. And I'll have to come to a place that's warmed by the Spirit of God. I'll have to come to a place where God's people are indeed sincere. And they are serious about their service. But my friends, they come with love in their heart to manifest and to show from one person unto another. He says again, He brought me to the banqueting house. His banner over me was love. Can you remember the first time that you came to the Lord's house? You know, in my experience, the Lord blessed me to be raised up in an old Baptist family. And I was taught to respect God and respect His Word and respect His house. But it's when God showed me what a sinner that I was and the need I had of His grace, that's when I really saw the love in the house of God. That's when I could really feel the love of God in my heart. And the gospel really began to mean something to me. And I recognized what a wonderful and valuable place this was. Unworthy, my friends, was I to be in the midst of such wonderful people. But I'll tell you what, it's been the joy of my life. It's been the joy of my life for many years now to live and dwell in the house of the Lord, in a spiritual house, in a spiritual environment, in a place where God's people come with a prayer in their heart, and a place where they come with love, my friends, and you can feel that love from one to another.
Amen.
My wife was raised up in another group of people, and I remember quite distinctly the first time I ever asked her to come to church with me. And I got to thinking on the way down to church of all the things we did was so much different than the way she was used to it. And I tried to prepare ahead of time for all of this. And I told her we didn't have Sunday schools and we didn't have choirs and we didn't do this and we didn't do that. I had all the don'ts in there at that time. You know, this is what we don't do. And I tried to prepare just as much as I possibly could. And I wasn't a member of that time, and we came to God's house and sat down under the sound of the gospel. And the Lord blessed us so wonderfully and so abundantly on that occasion. And preachers I've been hearing preaching times past, beginning to preach using the same Bible that used in times past, but on that occasion there was a difference. And the Lord moved mightily in my life. And there I had my girlfriend there for the first time. And tears began to stream out of my eyes and down my face. And I tell you, I wouldn't have cried for $100 bill back then in front of her. I wouldn't have cried for anything on that occasion. You just couldn't have gotten, you couldn't have paid me to cry, but I couldn't stop it. And the tears just flowed freely. And by the time I thought I'd get it stopped, the Lord would cause the preacher to hit another note on that gospel trumpet. And boy, the tears would come again. And I look back now, well, I enjoyed that occasion. You know, I'd have done anything to keep from doing that on that time. But it's been a joy to me since that time. Just reflect back on that experience. As we came around the handshake that day, I thought I made it past the preacher, but there was a brother who gave me an encouraging word. And when he did, I stopped and turned around and went back and asked for a home in the church. Oh, that was a wonderful and glorious time for me. And so they put it to the vote of the church and asked all the members of the church in favor receive me into the church to stand and rise up. And this is the first time my wife had ever been to an old Baptist church, and she stood up and voted right along with everybody else. She voted me in. It wasn't even a member. But you know, the next time she went to God's house, she joined the house of God. Brother, she joined the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've had a wonderful time ever since. And I think back upon that scene and that experience, it still does me good. It still gives strength to my heart and brings joy to my soul.
Amen.
One thing I desire, that I will seek after the Lord, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All the days of my life, brother. But I close tonight with Psalms 23, another statement of David concerning God's house. When he says, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. You know, when the Lord blesses, He doesn't just bring you right up to the to the top, He overflows your cup, doesn't He? You know, the Lord has a way of doing things far better than we could ever do it. I really love going to a Dairy Queen and getting those milkshakes. And it always seems strange to me how they could say the fool line is that far below the top. There's this fool line there. It's like me fooling be up here. But they stop it right there, what they say is the fool line. But you know, when the Lord fills the cup, He goes right on past that to the top, and it overflows.
Amen.
David says, "The Lord hath anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely in goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, you're going to dwell in God's house forever one day. And if you are, you ought to desire the Lord right now that you might dwell in His house all the days of your life.